Turn your Bibles in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. In verse 19, the Bible says, "For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. And to them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without the law, as without the law, being not without the law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without the law. To the weak became I as the weak, that I might gain the weak. I have made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be a partaker thereof with you." And then if you'd like to turn over just a page in chapter 10 and verse 33, the Bible says, "Even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved." I'd like to speak to you tonight about being all men, all things to all men, or just all men. We see here in this passage of Scripture, these two passages of Scripture that I've read for you, that that Paul was all things to all men. He was a Jew to the Jews. He was uncircumcision to the uncircumcision. He was a Gentile to the Gentiles. Paul pleased the Jews. He pleased the uncircumcision. He pleased the Gentiles. Why? So that some could be saved, for the furtherance of the gospel of Jesus Christ, so that many could be saved. Throughout the writings of the Apostle Paul, in the New Testament, he admonishes us. He exhorts us. And if you will, he commands that all men commands us certain things, but he always uses this phrase, all men, so that some might be saved through our life, through our testimony. I'm just going to give you several things here. Number one, I'd like to say, be honest in the sight of all men. Romans chapter 12 and verse 17 says, "Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men." And over there in Acts chapter 20, verse 33, this is Paul speaking, "I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me." We ought to be honest in all our dealings, whether it be in the business side, whether it be in our personal life, whether it be at work. We ought to be known as honest and law-abiding citizens, especially Christians. You ought to be honest with your taxes. Yeah. You ought to be honest when you sell a car. Yeah. You ought to be honest when you're selling something. Never stretch the truth. It is never the will of God for any Christian to ever stretch the truth. That's a lie, and that's being unhonest. Like if you're going to sell something on eBay, you have to file that with the tax. Thank you, Brother Vince. I sell stuff on eBay all the time. We need to be known as honest people. Number two, live peaceably with all men. Romans chapter 12 and verse 18 says, "If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men." And then Paul goes to say in the book of Hebrews in chapter 12 and verse 14, "Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord." We need to live peaceably with the unpeaceful. We need to live peaceful with those who we know we're never going to want peace. You know, the Apostle Paul, when he came before Felix, he was peaceful. When he came before Festus, when he came before King Agrippa, and when he came before, when he was on that voyage to Rome, and among the barbarians, he was known as a peaceful man. What is Jesus Christ called? He's called the Prince of Peace. Are we not predestined to conform to his image? We need to be peaceful with all men. Are you peaceful with all men today? Are you peaceful with your coworkers at work? We need some peace in this world because there's chaos out there. Every form of media, you just take the media, everything is chaos. There's no order. So we need to, let's live at peace with people. Number three, do good unto all men. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10 says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 15 says, see that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and unto all men. We need to do good to everybody. Hey, it's easy for me to do good to all of you. You know, I love you in the Lord. I mean, it's easy for me to do good for those in my family. But it's a lot harder for me to do good things for those that I will know that they will never do anything good back. But real Christianity is doing good to those who you know will never do good unto you. So let's just contemplate that. What does it say about Jesus? He came to his own received him not. He came unto his own creation. His own creation wanted to kill him. But what does it say about the Lord Jesus Christ? He went about doing good. How many miracles did he perform to a people that didn't even want him? Did his creation? We need to do good to those who are hard to do good to. Number four, let your moderation be known unto all men. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 5 says, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Hey, people are watching us, you know. Paul says in Hebrews that we are a gazing stock. They're going to watch what kind of spirit we have. They're watching us. Are we going about doing good? Are we living peaceable with mankind? Are we gentle towards people? So I'm going to get to it in a little bit. We need to let our moderation be known unto all men. Let your good works be made known. Number five, let the gospel be made known unto all mankind. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 9 says, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The Bible also says that if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. It's not hid to us. It's hid to those who don't know the truth, who have no idea what the truth is, but they're just living their life. Hey, I was one of them people one of those days. Before I was saved, I didn't know nothing. Only by God's grace that he sent me someone to preach to me. We are in contact with hundreds and thousands of people, with all the people in this room right now. Thousands. Every person we pass by, hey, we're standing between the living and the dead. Anybody could die at any moment. We've known that this past week. Anybody can die. We need to just get the gospel out. Don't miss an opportunity that the Lord will give you. Number six, increase and abound in love toward all men. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 12 says, and the Lord make you to increase and to abound in love one toward another. But it doesn't end there. And toward all men, even as we do towards you. You know, a few weeks ago, Pastor was saying that Jesus gave a new commandment in the New Testament. That was that you love one another. But there's an old commandment. Matthew chapter 22, verse 37. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And on these two hang all the law and the prophets. We need to love our enemies. Can I tell you something? You know what the difference between the love of God and the love of man is? The love of man is loving those people who are easy to love. The love of God is loving those who will never love you, in some cases. We need to love everybody. Hey, it's easy for me to love Brother Frank here, all those wonderful, you know, that thing he said about me, you know. Brother Frank's my friend, I love him, and it's easy for me to love him. But is it going to be easy for me to love someone who's critical about me, or might gossip about me, or might be bitter against me? We need to love the unlovely. We need to love the unlovable. Jesus loved his creation. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Hey, he came here, his own received him not. But he loved them. That's the love of God. You know, everybody always looks at John 3:16. How about 17? He came not into the world to condemn the world, that the world through him might be saved. He loved those that didn't love him. Look at Stephen. When Stephen loved to the end, he says, hold not that sin to their account. Jesus, remember, he said, Father, they know not what they do. He loved. We need to love. Number 7, be patient toward all men. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 14 says, now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. We need to be patient towards the weak. We need to be patient towards the feeble-minded, the broken, the weary, the backslidden, the fallen. We need to be patient towards the double-mindedness. Hey, we all got problems. We need to learn to be patient with people. You know, we need to learn not to blow our stack, you know, all the time. We need to be patient with people. We need to be long-suffering with people. We live in a day that's just fast paced here, you know, boom, boom, boom. Hey, I drive for a living. I mean, you gotta have patience for that. You know, I don't see Rick Vesper here, but he knows what I'm talking about. But we need to be patient so people could see us and see God in us. Number 8. Prayers, supplications, and intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. 2 Timothy chapter 2, and verse 1. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks be made unto all men. The Bible admonishes us to pray without ceasing. Pray all the day long. We need to pray for our enemies. We need to pray for all men. You know, when I first got saved, you know, I was a real baby Christian. I used to get bitter a lot. You know, one of the things that stops getting me bitter now is as soon as I'm tempted to be bitter towards someone, I pray for them. And you need to do that because it's the door out of here. You know what I mean, if you know me. We need to pray for everybody. When Jesus said to Peter, Satan had the desire to have you, to sift you as wheat. But Jesus said, I'm going to pray for you, Peter. We need to pray. And Jesus knew he was going to deny him, but he prayed for him anyways. We need to intercede for every lost soul, every lost person that we know. I try to think of, I know tons and tons. I'm sure you do too. We need to intercede, and we need to just bring those names to God, that the gospel would get to them. You know, no matter how long it takes. And we need to be thankful for our trials and our tribulations. We need to be thankful for our enemies, you know. We need to be thankful for our Congress, our senators that we might not want. You know, we need to be thankful in all things. And number 9, be gentle unto all men. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 24 says, the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men. I have to teach. That's talking about preachers there, but Listen, we need to be gentle people, you know, throughout the life of the Apostle Paul. I never see him being unkind or being ungentle towards anybody. Throughout the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, I never see him be unkind or ungentle to anybody. You know, the Holy Spirit, what's he known as? He's the perfect gentleman. He's never going to be pushy. We are to be wise as serpents and what? Harmless as doves. We need to have some gentleness. I don't know if any of you got the privilege to know Michael Fox when he was here, but if you ever looked at him and just, if you knew him, he's one of my best friends. And if you just look at him, and he's always had gentleness. He's always had the spirit of being gentle. The whole family did. You know, maybe that's why they just had an influence in so many lives, is because they were a gentle people. You know, God's people should be gentle. We shouldn't be like when you walk outside those doors. We shouldn't be like that. Number 10, show meekness unto all men. Titus chapter 3 and verse 2 says, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. Blessed are, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 5, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 25, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may cover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. You know, when people see us, there ought to be a softness about us, a soft spirit about us when we deal with people. Number 11, honor all men. Let's go to Peter now. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 17 says, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Romans chapter 13 and verse 7 says, render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due. Custom to custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. You know, Bible says we're supposed to honor all men. To honor them. We live in a day that there's a lot of dishonor. And it's a prophecy. You know, I don't believe any person in here, no child of God anywhere, should ever have a rebellious spirit, or we should never have a critical spirit towards law enforcement or our authority. You know, it's fine, you know. Sin is a different matter, okay? But we need to honor the position because, you know what? God put them there. You don't want to go against God. You know, the Bible says in Jude chapter 1 and verse 8 what these people are called. Likewise, also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh and despise dominion and speak evil of dignities. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 10, which is almost a parallel verse, but chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government, presumptuous are they, self-willed, and they are afraid to speak evil, they are not afraid to speak evil of dignities, whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not a railing accusation against them before the Lord. You know, we need to learn to be an honorable people. We need to honor people. Hey, before the Apostle Paul, when he was before Festus, before he was when he was before Felix, when he was before King Agrippa, now one time did I see come out of his mouth a rebellious or dishonorable word. Now one time that the Lord Jesus Christ bring out a rallying accusation towards anybody, and he's perfect, so we wouldn't expect that. But you go out throughout the Bible. Men of God, you never, and by the way, we're all supposed to be men of God. We need to honor people. Why? Well, 1 Corinthians again, chapter 10, verse 33. Even as I please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. So, we need to be honest, we need to live peaceably, we need to do good, We need to let our moderation be known. We need to let the gospel be made known. We need to increase and abound in our love. We need to be patient. We need to pray. We need to have our supplication, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. We need to be gentle. We need to show meekness. And we need to honor all men. Why? Jude chapter 1, verse 22 says, "And of some have compassion, making a difference. And others save with fear." Why? "Pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted, spotted flesh." It is never right and it is never the will of God for any Christian to ever be unkind, to ever be unlovely, to ever not be gentle for anybody outside of this place. Ever. It's never for us to be ungentle or unlovely or unkind to anybody in here. The household of faith. People are watching us. Let's be all things to all men, like Paul was. I'd like to just say this in closing. We're going to fail. Hey, I deal with this flesh all day long at work. But this is what we need to strive for when dealing with people. So they look at us and they say, "He knows God." Whenever you're at work, whenever you see someone, whoever you cross paths with, we need to be all things, all men, so that what? Some might be saved. You know, there's a man called Demetrius in the Bible in 3 John verses 11 and 12. It was said of him that he had a good report. When we get out of here, let's make sure that everybody knows that we have a good report. I'm just going to end with a sobering illustration. An outstanding and well-known couple visited a revival meeting. The woman was a professing Christian. The husband was not. During the invitation, she begged him to go forward. She asked him to raise his hand for prayer, but he made no response for anything. She said, as they walked out of the church, "I was hoping that this would be the night of your decision." He never answered. When they got home, he said, "My dear, you asked me tonight to raise my hand for prayer or to go forward during the invitation. I didn't mean to be rude or uncaring, but I've watched your life. You're a professing Christian, I am not. I don't want to be unkind, but where do we differ? You play cards. You go to the dance. You use vulgar language. You blow your stack when you get mad. I do these same things. You go to the movies, and so do I. For the life of me, I can see no difference in our living." There ought to be a difference when people look at us, when we deal with people. Because you know what? We might not want to deal with people, but that's something that comes along with being a Christian and a believer in Jesus Christ. Because you're going to deal with people. And if you're a believer in Christ, you should be dealing with people because people are going to hell.
Right.
Even as I speak. Dying. Let's just bow our heads and close our eyes for prayer. We need to realize that we might fail at some of these things, but we need to try to attain. Be all things to all men. Dear Father, Lord, I thank you, Lord, for these people, Lord, and just I love them, oh Lord. I pray, Lord, that we would just look at these 11 things, oh Lord, in our life and just be a better Christian, be more like Christ, oh Lord. That should be our motivation and our intent, oh Lord. Oh, help us. And Father, I pray, Lord, that Brother Frank's message, oh Lord, will be in our hearts, and this message, Father, and we be helped, and be a Brother Brian here, and just fill him with your spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen.